Good morning. Good morning. Today's shiur is really a form of bringing together the loose ends of a number of extremely important ideas that we have talked about and developed during the course of the last 3 weeks. It is, say, it is based on a shiur of Soloveitchik, one that I remember having been present at. His shiur was not on Pirkei Avos, but I'm going to take the ideas that he expressed there and bring them into the world of Pirkei Avos, and I believe it will all clarify all sorts of ideas that we've been talking about. We've been talking about man created in the image of God. From there we went on to the fact that Israel, Rabbi Akiva says, is even more chosen because Israel is considered a son, the children of God. Avivim Yisrael, beloved of Israel, that to them was given Torah. The Rav Shir was about brachos, making a bracha. It was the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, who we will be talking about later. They were the ones who established that you have to say a bracha before you eat something. You have to say a bracha before you have any benefit from this world. You have to say a bracha before you perform a mitzvah. I remember it was a shiur for 3,000 rabbis, 3,000 American rabbis. And the Rav, who always called himself a Malamed, I'm a Malamed. So he would start the shiur off like a Malamed with a question. And he asked, what's the meaning of the word Baruch? Baruch. Absolute silence. Everybody knows. There's a trick over here. Everybody's scared out of his wits. But the Rav is insistent he's not going to continue any further until somebody will tell him what's the meaning of the word Baruch. So there was always one fellow who takes his life in his hands, because the Rav could be very sharp at times, and he says, Rebbe, bless. Right? Now there's a silence, and everybody's waiting for the eruption to come. Bless. Me, small, infinitesimal man, I can bless God? What do you mean I bless God? What does it mean? How do I bless God? What do? Bless. And he says, I know that the Rabbinical Council of America just came out with a new Siddur with an English translation, and every place it says Baruch, it says bless. What's bless? Little me, how do I bless God? What does it mean? I mean, the Rabbinical is a little jingle, looks like in my pocket. What's Nathus? What does it mean? Alright, so this is at least the first explosion is over, and then the Rav continues. And he says, and this is of course it's in the Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra, many of the Mefarshim say that the meaning of the word bracha is ribui vitosefet, to expand, to add, to make more. So then of course the next question becomes, what does it mean in the context of our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shlalom, Baruch Atah Hashem? So the Rav said that from the moment God descends upon Har Sinai and he gives Torah to the Jewish people, the one and only time in all of history that the divine presence comes down to the face of this earth. As long as God is there, no one can come to the mountain. In Shoch HaYovel, when the sound of the shofar is heard, which is an indication that the divine presence is leaving the mountain, from that point on and further, God will not reappear on the face of this earth till the end of history. Until we reach the point of Vahaya Hashem, Lemelech al kol haaretz, God will be king over the whole earth. Yeah, Shem echad v'shmor echad. But from that moment on and further, from the time that God ascended heavenward, there was a task that he entrusted to the Jewish people. The task that he entrusted to us, it is our responsibility to reveal God's presence in the world. How does a Jew reveal God's presence? He takes a glass of water in his hand and he makes a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nihya B'Dvaro, everything came into being because of his word. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I am revealing God's presence in this glass of water. And the Jew says brachas all the time, and what we are doing with the word Baruch is ribui v'tosefet. We are adding, we are increasing the knowledge of God in the world. I once wanted to explain a very fascinating Rashi, Shir Hashirim, with this idea. The Rav didn't speak about the Rashi either. And I was looking for a Rashi to say this morning, because today is the Yahrzeit of Rashi, the 29th day of Tammuz. Rashi, who is of course the colossus of all generations, Rashi was born in 1040 or 1041, and he died in 1105, Chof Tes Tammuz, and it was a Thursday that year, 901 years ago. So I wanted to say a Rashi. So there's a Rashi. Rashi says the following, unbelievable Rashi. In Shir Hashirim, Se'eno Ure'eno Benos Tzion Bamelech Shlomo, go out and see your daughters of Zion about the king Shlomo, Ba'atoro Sheitro Lo Imo, the crown that his mother gave him, B'yom Chatunato, on the day of his wedding, U'B'yom Simchat Libo, on the day of the joy of his heart, the crown that his mother gave him. Now, Shlomo HaMelech in Shir Hashirim also represents God. Shlomo HaMelech means God. Who's God's mother? And what's this Atorah, this crown that was given to his mother, by him, by his mother? Rashi brings the following, Omer Rabbi Nechunya. Rabbi Nechunya said, Shaul Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai once asked Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, It must be that you heard from your father, Mahu v'atoro she'itra lo imo. What does it mean, the crown that his mother gave him? Rabbi Yossi's father had great knowledge in Agadah. You must have heard something from your father. Omar lo, Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Moshe lemelech shehaita lo bat yechida. Moshe, parable, a king who had a one and only daughter. Lo zoz mechavava, he didn't move from loving her, meaning that the love became more intense, she could all beat him. He called her, my daughter, shenema. Pasukim Tehillim Shimi Batu Rei, listen to me, the daughter, and see. Lo zov mi chavava, the relationship between the two of them, king and daughter, became even greater love. Ad shekara achoti, until he called her my sister. Shenema Pasukim Shir Hashirim Pitchi li achoti rayati, open up the gate to me, my sister, my bride. Lozov mechavava. He didn't move from his love. His love became even more intense. Achikara, he called this daughter. He called this daughter Imi, my mother. Shenana, pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hakshivu Eli Ami Ulumi Eli, listen to me, my people and my nation, Ha'azinu. Ulimiksiv, it's written as though it would have said, my mother. Omar Rav Shimon ben Yochai got up, the Nashta Rosho, and he kissed Rav Yossi on the head. That's Rashi tells him. What was it that Rav Yossi said? Who was meant by this? King has a daughter, and he loves her even more. And now she becomes, after daughter, she becomes sister. After sister, she becomes mother. What does it all mean? So I wanted to explain the following here. The relationship between God and the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, king, father to daughter. When the two stand at the foothills of Sinai, the revelation comes down from the heaven to the mountain, and he is now in the process of entering into a partnership with the Jewish people. They are, he looks to them as equals. Sister, the moment that the divine presence rises heavenward and God is no longer going to reveal himself in this world, but do you know who the task is given over to? He passes that task on to his mother. She is going to take care of him throughout history in the world. And how? Shu takes a glass of water in his hand and he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Miyod V'ro. God is here. I see him in an apple, I see him in an orange. I see him in everything that there is in this world. That's our task. Until ultimately, the moment that God will reveal himself. That means we are, in a sense, the conscience of the world. Maybe that's why they don't like us. I don't like my conscience sometimes, though. In every bracha, remember this, we had discussed once a bracha on a mitzvah, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. We know already what bracha means, Rivui v'tosefes, adding to God's presence in the world. Elokeinu Melech Olam, halacha is a bracha must have the name of God, and you also have to say Melech in it, Malchus. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav, he sanctified us. When we make a bracha on a mitzvah, we say Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav. Something went wrong with the grammar here. By the way, in Shehakol Nihyo B'dvaro, there's something else. Something went wrong with the grammar here too. What does Atah mean? I'm speaking to you directly. When I come to the end of the bracha, I should say Shehakol Nihyo, everything came into being B'dvarecha, your words. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidashtanu B'mitzvosecha. You sanctified us with your commandments, V'tzivitanu, and you commanded us. You know what we do in every bracha? In every bracha, we make a grammatic switch from second person to third person. How do you do this? There's a problem in every bracha. The Rishonim already asked this question. And the Rashba says, that since the halacha is that you have to refer to God as king, you know what happens with mere little mortal men? Says, oh, stands up, big hero. Baruch Atah, you know, you, God, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Ha'olam. All of a sudden he says Melech Ha'olam, and he is overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. He sees himself as but a little speck in this great universe that God is king of it all. And in a sense, man is taken aback. And he can no longer continue speaking to God directly, but he has to switch to third person. Shehakol Nihyo B'dvaro. Asher, that he sanctified us with his mitzvahs and he commanded us. The Rav asks the following question. Okay, so we have a bracha over an apple, over an orange, over a glass of water. But wait a minute, wait a minute. There's something that we benefit from and we enjoy every day. And what's the purpose of a bracha? By the way, what's the halachic purpose of a bracha? But the Gemara says it in Masechet Brachot. There's a pasuk that we all know. La'ashem ha'aretz u'melawa. The world and all that's in it belongs to God. It's His. The whole world belongs to God. But there's another pasuk, a pasuk that we say in Halel, Hashamayim, Shamayim, La'ashem. The heavens belong to God. Ha'aretz nasan l'vnei Adam. And the earth He gave to us. So wait, which one is it? There's a contradiction over here. La'ashem ha'aretz u'melawa. It belongs to God. Oh no, He gave it to us. So the Gemara says, "Kan kodem bracha, kan achar bracha." The pasuk of La'ashem ha'aretz u'melawa, that the earth belongs to God, is before a Jew makes a bracha. Before you make a bracha, the whole world is His. You benefit from this world without making bracha. You have tampered with that that is holy. You're stealing from God. It's His. The moment you make a bracha and you acknowledge that this is all His, then you know what happens? The bracha now permits you to benefit. You can drink the water and eat the apple. So kodem bracha la'ashem ha'aretz u'melawa is the pasuk that describes the relationship between man and the whole world. It belongs to God. After the bracha, then ha'aretz natan b'nei adam. God gave the world to man. The question is the following. What about the fact that we benefit from our intellect, our mind, our neshama, our lives, our whole personality, our entire being, the greatest gift that God gave us, and we benefit from it every moment of the day? Who permitted us that benefit? What bracha do we say on life itself? How do I enjoy, make use, utilize all of what I am? I belong to God. Hashem ha'aretz u'melawa. I don't need a glass of water. Me. So here the Rav develops the idea that, and it's really the idea of bracha as well. So everything is holy. And in order to benefit from that which is holy, you have to redeem it. You have to redeem it. By redeeming it, it means that I take that which is holy and I now remove the sanctity from it so I'm able to use it. We all know about that. How do we know about that? Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, we take either money or a tarnagol. And we shlog kaparis. And what do we say when we shlog kaparis? Vayichonenu, God favored man by Yomer, and He said, Pidoehu, redeem him, may ledet shachat, rather than he go down to the grave. Motzati kofer, I have found ransom. Zeh hakesef, this money will go to tzedakah, vani ekones l'chayim tovim. So there's the idea of kofar. There is ransom, or there is a form of redemption. I redeem myself. I remove the sanctity, and therefore now I can make use and benefit of what I am. There's another halacha with regard to that which is holy, and from here we can go into the rest. That would be the final introduction. That one is a thousand. If you want to redeem something, this table belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So by right, I have to pay whatever the value of the table is. I have to pay that to the Beit HaMikdash, and then the table now becomes something that I may use. There's also a very special halacha by redeeming that which is holy. Hegdish shoveh mana, hegdish that can be worth a hundred, whatever it is. I can be poded for one penny. And as the Rav said in the Shi, you know, the Galatian says, you know, I don't mind being a friar sometimes. It's okay. It's okay. One penny. Pruta. and you remove the sanctity. So the Chof says there are three prutos that God requires of men, that God requires of every Jew. And we're going to describe the three prutos, and from there I'm going to take you to Pirkei Avos. Pruto number one, and each one of them is the way in which God conducts himself in the with this world. This is exactly what God requires of us. The way he conducts himself, the way he acts, so he wants us to act. That will fit in, number one, with the idea of a halachta bidrochav, that men are supposed to go in the path, in the ways of God. And when you hear the first pruta, you will know that we have talked about this pruta over the last few weeks. The Balatanya and the Arizal say, together with many others of the Bali Kabbalah, it appears in the Zohar as well. And you will immediately know what I'm talking about. For God to have created the world, what had to happen was the process of Tzimtzum. You remember we talked about Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum, God contracts himself so that a world can come into being, because otherwise the whole world is full with God. He removes himself, so to speak, and he brings into being a world. We talked about the Medrash, that when God said to Moshe, Vosli Migdash, make a Migdash for me, and I will dwell in your midst, Moshe is taken aback and trembles and says, Ribbono Shel'olam, Hinei Hashamayim Ushmei Hashamayim Lo Yechal Galucha, the heavens and the heavens above the heavens cannot contain you. How will our little house here contain you? To which God responds, Moshe, you should know, Lo Kemosha Atocho Sheif, not the way you think, but the way I do. 20 pillars to the north, 20 pillars to the south, 8 in the middle, and I will come down and I will contract and I will be there in your midst. This is the idea of Tzimtzum. We also discussed the famous Rashi in Shirashidim, Suga Bashu Shaman. We talked about the hedge of roses, Chosin and Kala, after the wedding, and she turns to the Chosin, she says, that Tipas Dam Kechargol Ra'iti, a little spot of blood I saw. He turns away, she turns away. What is it that separates the two of them? This hedge of roses. The Rebbeinu Shalom conducted himself through Tzimtzum in order to bring the world into being. That's what he requires of the Jew. Wherein do we conduct ourselves with Tzimtzum? The whole Shulchan Aruch. This I can do, this I have to do, that I may not do. I mean, there are rules and regulations to our lives. We're not free to do whatever we want. We're not free to say whatever we want. There are times at which Moedos perform this mitzvah and that mitzvah. We have to be careful of what we say here and what we say there. Our whole life is surrounded by a great hedge of roses. We are surrounded by all sorts of siyagim. Isn't that the first Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva? The first Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva that we talked about. Siyag l'kach mashtika, Baisri siyag l'yosha, Nidorim siyag l'prishos. Kalus Rosh Schok, the Kalus Rosh Margilin is Adam Le'erva. That whole Mishnah Rabbi Akiva talked about the idea of Tzimtzum. Shulchan Aruch is Tzimtzum. We have rules by which we live. Of course, there are great benefits. The great benefits are that these rules are that which makes a great human being. That those are the rules that give sanctity and holiness to the Jewish people. Wherever you want, Shabbos, Yom Tov, it's Erev Chodesh, there's going to be a Tisha B'Av, there's going to be in Kippur or Shana, wherever we move, there are rules, there are regulations, there are requirements, there are things that may be done, there are things that may not be done. The first penny that God wants of the Jewish people is Tzimtzum. That's what the Rav called it. There's a second penny. The second penny is the following. When God appears to Moshe at the snare, he tells him, Zesh mi lo'olam zezichri ledor vador. This is my name, lo'olam, forever, forever. Rashi points out over there that the word lo'olam is spelled without a vav between the ayin and the lamed, which means it can also mean ilum, helem, being in concealment, in concealment. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is in concealment. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is humble. He created this whole world, and when he finished creating the whole world, he didn't sign his name down at the bottom. Man has to discover God in nature and in history. God has chosen to be in concealment. Vayeded Hashem ba'onon, God comes down in a cloud. Vonochi hastir astir panai, God is going to be concealed. Yoshev v'sei said Elyon, he does not appear, as we pointed out, the last appearance that he made on the face of this earth was the appearance at Har Sinai. Humility and anonymity. That's how God conducts himself in this world. Humility and anonymity. For a human being to be able to enter into positive and good relations with members of the family, with students, with fellow human beings, these are the two that are more important than any other. Humility, and in a sense, anonymity. I'm not important. Now you're important. There were 120 members that were that made up the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, 120. How many do we know? We know of Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Zerubbabel, Shimon HaTzadik was the last. We don't know the rest. You know why we don't know the rest? Because it wasn't important to them that they be known. They had a job. Their job was to rebuild a Jewish community, rebuild Torah by God Yisrael. The key to teaching is anonymity. Gedolei Yisrael were never concerned that generations to come, young people are going to study when he was born and when he died and what he ate and what he wore. Nobody was ever interested in that. Everybody knew that they have a task to accomplish. You finish the task, the gate weiter. That's it. It's all over. Anonymity and humility and humility. The Rebbeinu conducts himself in this world. He's anonymous. The Rebbeinu is anonymous. We don't see him. This anonymity is the result of his humility. And therefore, this is what the Rebbeinu requires. A Rebbe to really be effective has got to have this humility and this anonymity. That what's important is the message. Not important that you stand up for me. Not important that you sing Shorim Rosheichem or Yomim Al Yemeimel Eftozi. It's not important. It's not important. What's important is Torah has been passed down from generation to generation. My task is to pass that Torah on to you. And every Rebbe just wants to do it as long as he can, and then that's it. That's the second penny. Anonymity and humility. The third. The third may be the most difficult of them all. The Rebbeinu Shlomo in this world practices silence. In great measure, he has imposed silence upon himself. Of the pasuk in the Shira, Mi chamocha ba'elim Hashem. The Gemara says, Mi chamocha, who is like you, ba'ilmim, the silent ones. God is silent. God is silent. Does he make demands of us? The moment that we sin or do something wrong, does he explode and demand answers of us? Here the Rav makes a statement that is so significant. To act like God means don't always demand answers or explanations to things that happen in history. The Beinish Lelem, why weren't you here? Why weren't you there? Where were you? Don't ask questions of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When in his good time he will decide that it's time for you to know, you will know. Just like we don't want God to question us and demand answers of us, don't question the Rabbeinu Shalom. Do you know what a Jew does when tragedy falls? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam dayan ha'emet. God is the truthful judge. The most difficult bracha of all to say. God goes on to describe, everybody finds this so difficult, and God describes it's Erev Pesach. Family comes home to the house and having buried a loved one. They sit shiver, people come into the house, people leave the house. Then all of a sudden, you know what happens? Along comes the halacha and says, get up, wash, put on your yantav clothing, you're going to shul to say hallel. Understand? 1 hour. Deep grief? No. Yantif says, what a difficult demand the halacha makes of us. You don't understand? I don't understand either, he says. There's a story that he brings that, you know, I heard it, you know, from different gedolim. He brings it in the name of the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, was the Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. I remember having heard it about Rav Naftali Tzvi Finkel, the Alter from Slobodka. Here it is, it's in the Yeshiva in Volozhin, or let's call it Volozhin. In the Yeshiva Volozhin, it's Shavuos, the Yom Tov of Shavuos has just begun. The Rosh Yeshiva, the Netziv, is dancing with the students of the Yeshiva. Anyway, a messenger from the local telegraph office comes in and hands a telegram to the Netziv. He takes a look at the telegram, folds it up, puts it back into his pocket, continues dancing. The tans, a whole yantav, 2 days yet. In Kutzer, it's 2 days. The simcha. They make Havdalah in the yeshiva after yantav. The moment Havdalah is over, the Netziv bursts out into tears. The telegram had said that his younger sister died suddenly. Yantav is yantav. No avelos on yantav. Do you understand what kind of awesome strength that takes? Awesome. Frightening strength. The Jew has always known when to remain silent. When you don't ask questions. When you know that you're not going to get an answer, now is not the time for an answer, maybe in another generation, in 2 generations. Not now. That's the third penny. Silence. I want to take this basic shiur with my additions, I want to take it now. And I want to read the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, umesor al Yehoshua. Moshe received Torah at Sinai, and he transmitted it to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua transmitted it to the elders. to the Zakenim, who was Zakenim Lenevian, and the elders transmitted it to the prophets, and the prophets transmitted it to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Heimam Rushloshet Varim, they said three things. Havei Metunim Adin, be careful, patient in judgment. V'ha'amidu Talmidim Hardei, and raise many students. V'asus Yadla Torah, and make a fence around the Torah. That really was the main task of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Remember, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah are the ones who are in Eretz Yisrael upon the return from the Babylonian exile. They have already begun rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, the foundations for the Bet HaMikdash Harem. It's still a very, very pitiful community. In all of Eretz Yisrael, there may be 43,000 Jews, but it's a beginning, and this beginning is going to become the period of the Second Temple. Why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? This is a great Gemara. Oh, every Gemara is great, I'm sorry. But, you know, some Gemaras are even more great. Number two, famous Gemara in Yuma, where the Gemara says, you see where it's underlined, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Nibra Shmon Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly? So the Gemara says, Shehechazinu Atoro Yoshna, because they returned the crown to its original glory. Ota Moshe, Moshe came, and in Torah, Moshe describes God as Hokel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Ota Yirmiyahu, along comes Yirmiyahu. And in chapter 32 in Yirmiyahu, there is a prayer that Yirmiyahu prays to God, and he refers to God. And he refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. He does not call him Nora. He doesn't call him awesome. Yirmiyahu says, here there are goyim in the Holy of Holies, you understand. I don't see the awesomeness of God. Otto Daniel, the Gemara goes on to say, along came Daniel after him. Daniel is living in Babel in exile. In chapter 9 of Daniel, he prays and he refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Vanora, but he doesn't say Gibor. He doesn't describe God as mighty. Why? Because he says here, Goyim enslaved the Jewish people in exile. I don't see God's might. Along came the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and you know what they said? Ah, just the opposite. Adarav, Zuhi Gvuraso. You know what his might is? His Gvura? Shekovesh is Yitzro, that God is able to control himself and doesn't instantly destroy the enemies of Israel. He withholds himself. Ve'eluhein Orosav, and you know what's awesome and frightening about God? The survival of the Jewish people. If not for the fact that God is Nora, how does this one little Shefzala survive among 70 wolves that want to devour her? Alright? So what did the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah do? They composed the Shmoneh Esrei, and in the Shmoneh Esrei they described God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora, as Moshe did. So they returned the crown to its original glory. Murray asks an unbelievable question at the end. V'rabbanan, three lines from the bottom of the Gemara. V'rabbanan hechi avdi hachi v'okri takanta the tikkun Moshe. The Rabbanan, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, how did they reject, negate, uproot that which was said by Moshe? Moshe described God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, VaHanora. Why did Yirmiyahu leave out Nora? Why did Daniel leave out Gibor? Omer Olada, Rav Olada said, Mitoch sheyodin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'amiti hu, because they knew that God is truth. Lefichach lo kizvu bo, therefore they didn't lie to him. Lefichach lo kizvu bo. Rashi's Yard site, so we'll just take a look at one Rashi. Three lines from the bottom of the Rashi, right there to the left. Shehu Amiti. Maskin Allah and it, God agrees to truth. V'sonei et hasheker, and he hates falsehood. Yirmiyahu is standing there and he's watching the Churban and he doesn't feel the awesomeness of God. So what should he say? You know? Kela, Gadol, Agiba, Mahanora. He won't know the difference anyway. Of course God knows the difference. And Yirmiyahu knows that. They know that God is truth. I don't feel and I don't see and I don't experience your awesomeness. I can't. Didn't say it. Daniel takes a look at Klal Yisrael, how they're suffering in the exile. He doesn't see God's might, so what should he do? Be a good boy and say, okay, keep on. I once asked on this Gemara, and I think that this is obviously the way it has to be understood. Were the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? No, they were not greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel. Yirmiyahu was one of the greatest of prophets. His Medrash describes in great detail that he was kamak, like Moshe. Of course, nobody is like Moshe. Close. So why is it that Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were able to see, it would see more than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? So of course that's not the pshat. The only difference between Anshei Knesset HaGadolah on the one hand and Yirmiyahu and Daniel on the other is that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah lived in a different period in history. Yirmiyahu lives at a time of Korban, so he sees Korban. Daniel lives at a time of exile and he sees exile. The advantage of Anshei Knesset HaGadolah is not that their ability to see is greater. They're experiencing Shivas Tzion. They are experiencing the return to Eretz Yisrael. They see Yerushalayim beginning to rise from the ruins. A whole different perspective. One has to be able to see Yahadut and history within his own context. They're able to say, okay, Lagodah, Lagibah, Vanorah, because they're not looking at what Yirmiyahu looked at. They're not looking at what Daniel looked at. I've always said that that's the confusion of our generation. Our generation experienced Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshei Knesset HaGadolah in 3 years. From 1945 to 1948. Went through such awesome changes, at least Yirmiyahu had a lifetime to be able to absorb it. Daniel had a lifetime of exile. We went through it all in 3 years. If we're still confused, there's good reason for it. But we have to be able to, I imagine that everything moves more quickly in the 20th and the 21st century. Things move more quickly. It's sort of Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshei Knesset HaGadolah all flying before our eyes. Fast forward. What did Anshei Knesset HaGadolah say? They said three things. Number one, they said, Hevu Metunim Vadim. Hevu Metunim Vadim. Hevu Metunim Vadim means be careful, be patient in judgment. So obviously it's understood as meaning, you're a judge, a case is brought to you, Reuven, Shimon, you hear both sides, be patient, you don't have to rush to judgment. I think Anshei Knesset HaGadolah are saying something even more profound than that, and what they're saying is the result of their own experience. Don't rush to pass judgment on historic events. You know what you have to do? Stand back. Wait. Stand back and wait. We've gone through terrible times. But you know what? Two generations ago in Yirmiyahu's day, there may have been Jews who said, we're lost and it's all over and the curtain is coming down on Jewish history. And that's exactly what Yechezkel says. There are people who said, "Avadnu nigzarnu lanu, no hope anymore. Ovda tikvatenu, ovda tikvatenu." That's what they said. It's all over. And then there were those, of course, during the days of Daniel, that said, "This is it. We're finished. We're going to assimilate into the nations of the world." Remember, when they start coming back to Eretz Yisrael, there are those who have already intermarried, embraced all the tzavos of the Golos have already begun. So anybody who looked at Jewish history within the context of their own time might have made a terribly tragic mistake. Because you know what you need to understand Jewish history? Savlanu. That's what you need. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it's not because they had Savlanu, they simply didn't live at the same time. But you know what's interesting? Come to think of it, there are those who are present at the foundations of the second Beit HaMikdash, who yet remember the first Beit HaMikdash. Can you imagine what they went through? They saw, they really saw Churban, Golus, and Shivas Tzion. And even they, you know, as the Beit HaMikdash is being built, so it describes over there that the young people are full of great joy. The older generation are crying because they remember what that Beit HaMikdash looked like. What it really looked like, and this is not whatever. But you know what? Ultimately, the second Beit HaMikdash architecturally is going to become something very magnificent. Hevum etunim ladin. Don't pass judgment too swiftly or too quickly about anything. That happens. One of the terrible things of our time. The terrible things of our time. People feel they have to pass judgment. You open up the paper every day. The Gedolei Olam, most of them who are stupid, you understand. But they write like intellectuals. They may even look like intellectuals. And they make mistakes day after day after day. There are events that happen with the Jewish people that require distance. You can't stand up with your nose against a Rembrandt and be able to appreciate its beauty. You need a perspective of time. You need distance. You move back, and then if you know the exact distance, you can see the Rembrandt in all of its glory. Having the tunim adin. Ah, you know what having the tunim adin means? What was the third pruta that we were talking about? The Rashi said, you know, don't ask questions all the time. You have to remain silent. You have to remain silent. What was the pasuk from which we learned the idea of God's silence? Mi hamocha ba'elim Hashem. Who was like you amongst the ill and the silent ones? Mi kamocha, who is like you, neder b'kodesh, this is in the Shira, neder b'kodesh, no ros tehilos. Do you know what God's silence is? God's silence is no ra, that he is fearsome and awesome. Hevei metunim, but then I say, corresponds to one of the three descriptions of God of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Noro. What's the next one? Hamidu Tamidim Harvei. What did we say was necessary in order to teach, to transmit Torah? Moshe Kibbutz Torah V'Sinai, the Sod of Yeshua. You know what you need? Humility, anonymity. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to teach Torah to all of Klal Yisrael because he was on of me, old Mikol Hodom. He was more humble than anybody on the face of this earth. The Rebbe can never inject his personality. He has to sit back and he has to be concerned with one thing, passing on that Torah to the next generation. Humility and anonymity. Ah! So in number three I have Status Meine Chazal. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "B'chol makom shatam otzei gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu," wherever you find God's greatness, gadol. I'm talking now, hakel hagadol. Do you know what gadol describes? Wherever Torah writes about God being gadol, shom atam otzei am v'tanuto. There you will find God's humility. God's gadlus is His humility. And that humility is what is necessary in order la'amid tamidim harvei. And it says, this is written by Torah, the Shalmi by Nevi'im, a second time it's in the Nevi'im, Umishulash Baksuvim, and the third time it's in the writings, the holy writings, it says in Torah, ki, listen to this pasuk, ki asher elokechem hu Eloheihu Elohim, God your God is the God of all gods and the master of all masters. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoda, Ashalogi Saponim Elohim Kachshochas. This is where Moshe Rabbeinu describes God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoda, who does not favor anybody and does not take breath. Uksim Batre, you know what it says right after this great description of God? Ose Mishpat Yaton Vamana. He provides judgment for the orphan and for the widow. And he loves the stranger and gives him bread and clothing. Says a second time in the Nevi'im. So what do we have juxtaposed over here? Gadol. And right after Gadol, you know what we are told? We are told about God's humility. Shonu v'Nevi'im, a second time in the Nevi'im, as it says, Ki ko omar rom v'niso shokhen ad v'kodom shimo. This happens to be from the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. So says the one who is raised and exalted, shokhen ad, dwell forever. Kodom shimo, his name is holy. Morom v'kodosh eshkon. I live upon in holiness on high. And you know what it says afterwards? After this great description of a God who is so holy and so sanctified and so high. You know what it says? And this is the message that we need on Yom Kippur. Ve'ezdarko u'shval ruach. Do you know what I dwell with? I dwell with those who are broken, whose spirit is low. La'achayot ruach shvalim. To give life to those who are low. La'achayot leiv nidkayim. And to give life to those who are going through such great difficulty. We need a Rabbeinu Shlomo. La'achayot leiv am Yisrael. During this extremely difficult period. Not only that, give them courage to keep doing the right thing, not to stop. Mishulim b'ksuvim. Gadol. God. Gadol? Gadol means his humility and anonymity. And the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, who composed the Shemon Esrei HaKeil HaGadol HaGibanara, they say Hamidu Tamidim Harbei. To be Mamid Tamidim Harbei, he has to be Gadol. The Anifus, the humility of God. Asus Yad LaTorah. The third is Asus Yad LaTorah. What's the Yad LaTorah? Tzimtzum, contraction. There is a wall, Sugah Bashoshanim, there's a hedge of roses. What does it require to be able to live according to halakha? You know, it requires that a person be a gibor. Because what is a gibor? HaKodesh Es Yitzro, the one who is able to conquer his Yetzer. HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora are expressed in Heaven Mitunim Badin, Hamidu Tamidim Harbei, Vasus Yog LaTorah. And you know what all of these are? God's contraction, God's anonymity and humility, God's silence. All of these are what the Rebbe Shlom requires of the Jew, and this conduct is that which gives us the right to benefit from all that God has given us. And this in essence really describes the tzelem elokim of the human being. We've been talking about chovav adam shenivra b'tzelem, beloved is man who's created in the image of God. If he practices tzimtzum, if he lives in anonymity, He is able to maintain silence, then we also. So here it was what the ancient Knesset Gedolah was saying upon the rebirth of a Jewish people. Chevra, heaven etunim badim. Don't pass judgment on Jewish history too quickly. Don't say it's all over. I remember in the 50s when they said Orthodoxy is finished. Oh, I remember that. Oh, do I remember that? And I was a young boy then, but there were times that I went out to try and talk people into sending their children to what they called then parochial schools. The parochial schools became day schools. You know, where they learn aleph-based. Parents were always worried that I want my son to be a rabbi. I want my son to be a rabbi. You know, we teach him aleph-based and he's going to be a rabbi already. Oh, okay. And they said it's all over. It's 50 years later now. The whole story is different. Orthodoxy, Shomrei Torah mitzvahs are the most powerful segment in all of Judaism. We're the ones that are carrying the torch of Torah mitzvahs, of Jewish identity. Every time, without fail, I've been watching it for years. Every time we go into battle or war, there's always going to be a picture of a group of soldiers standing with talus and tefillin and davening next to a tank. Because that's the only way the Haaretz or anybody else can show that this is a Jewish army. The only way. And it's without fail. I've seen a whole bunch of those pictures. Haaretz, front page, front page. Because ultimately, this is it. So therefore, Heve metunim badin, the curtain is not coming down on the Jewish people. We're in Am HaNetzach. Because, you know, as we said a few weeks ago, Mahu Nitzchi, just as God is eternal, so are we eternal. So what Anshei Knesset HaGedolah is saying, listen, after this difficult period of Golus Babel, we have to learn by now, don't pass judgment so quickly. And we've learned already that the only way that we're going to survive is by rebuilding the centers of Torah, Hamidu Talmidim Habe. And you know what else we're going to have to do? We're going to have to strengthen observance by the Jewish people. Asus Yom HaTorah. Do you know what Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? They're the ones who created the laws of Muktzah to protect the Shabbos. They are the ones who prohibited wine of a goy so that we should not enter into social relationships. There were a whole series of halachas. What they were doing is they were reacting to the historic needs of the Jewish people, which are true today as they were true in the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So I say, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah hechaziru atorah liyoshna. They returned the crown not simply by virtue of the fact that they composed one sentence in Shmona Esrei that says, Hokei HaKadol HaGiru HaNora. They rebuild a Klal Yisrael with all of those ideas, all of those values that are expressed by Gadol, Gibor, and Nora.
What's the title for today?